I'd like to give you a very warm welcome to our morning service here today. Whether you're here in the building or joining us online, it's good to see some familiar faces visiting as well. Lovely to have you here. Just before we start our service this morning, there's a few notices just to give out. One of them is, this coming Thursday we have a prayer meeting, especially for those that are involved in education. So we've got Bex who's going to be coming and giving a few prayer points on Thursday, so a really good time to come and pray for those that are involved in education. Such an important part of life, isn't it? So I encourage you to come along this Thursday. Also, we have another Christianity Explored course starting on the 17th of September, and it's running for six Tuesdays. And then James asked me to really encourage you, if you know anybody, any family or friends that might be interested, to really encourage them to come along to that event. Also, just a reminder to those that have been joining us for a prayer time before Thrive and Rooted. We started back this morning. It was lovely to have all the children back, very excited, as usual. But we will be having a time of prayer next week again, starting from 20 past 10. So if you're able to, it's a really good time to get together and to pray, not just for the children, but for the teachers as well as they teach. So that's next week, starting at 20 past 10. And then just one more. So there's a lot to bombard you with here, but this is for the men. So our autumn Bible studies are going to be starting again on Wednesday, the 18th of September. And there are going to be two groups. John will be leading one of them and Martin. So it'd be a real encouragement to see as many men there as possible. It's a good time to be together and study God's word together. And if you would like to come and you're not in one of the groups, please feel free to speak to John or Martin, and I'm sure they can put you into one of the groups. So there are a few things just to take notice of and to put down in your diaries. So as we stand now to sing our first song this morning, we're going to be singing Creation Sings the Father's Song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn. And please stand when the music starts.
Thank you.
have two readings this morning. I'm going to be doing one now and one a little bit later on. And the message is titled today, Ephesians, the Backstory. And John will give us a little bit of the background info on that as he speaks to us a little bit later on. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles or follow on the screen, we're going to be reading our first reading from Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And you can find that on page 928 in your Bibles or follow along on the screen. So Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. They were about 12 men in all. And he entered into the synagogue, and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And that's our first reading. And a little bit later on, like I said, we'll be having another reading. But before then, shall we commit our time to prayer? Shall we bow and pray to God? How awesome is God that we can come and we can call you our Father, that we can come to you, our God, and pray to you and speak to you through what your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done. Lord, what a privilege that is. Lord, we were teaching the children this morning a prayer about giving thanks always and praying to God. And we thank you that we have that way to you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that you are a God who hears and listens to our prayers. And Lord, you answer our prayers in the way that you see fit that is best for us. And we thank you for that. Lord, we're just so thankful that in our lives, no matter what trials or situations we come to, we can always turn to you in prayer for help, for guidance, for direction. And Lord, you're always there to put us in the right place at the right time. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we do fall so short of your standards. Lord, I'm sure that there are many of us, even now as we're in this building here, are thinking about other things that have happened this week or are happening in the future. Lord, we forget to think about the main and important thing that we're here for, to be here, to listen and to hear and to worship you. But I just pray now, as we're all here praying to you, that you would clear our minds of all those things and that you would focus our minds entirely upon you. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be working and helping and guiding us and teaching us this morning. Lord, we thank you that even though we fall far short of your standards, yet we can be made right in your sight because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that he was willing to step down into this earth, to live amongst us as human beings, yet was faultless in every single way and was willing to take the punishment upon his shoulders on that cross at Calvary so that we could be made whiter than snow. And I just pray, Lord God, that as we go through this week, that we can remember to continually to pray to you, to ask you to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us, and to always be asking for forgiveness for the things that we have done wrong. And we thank you that you are a Father who is always willing to forgive and always willing to be there for us whenever we need you. Lord, I just pray that as we come here this morning, Lord, that the words and the things that we are about to hear this morning, the songs that we're going to sing, Lord, that they would really be helping us and guiding us and teaching us. Lord, help us to take these things into our hearts. Help us to really be meditating on them as this week goes by. I pray especially that you would really help John and John Woods as they preach to us this morning as well. Help them and guide them through the messages that they want to speak. Lord, as we think about this morning, we thank you so much for the events that have already happened. We think about Thrive and we think about Rooted that have happened a few minutes ago, Lord. And we thank you for all the children and teenagers that turned up this morning. Lord, so full of energy and so full of life, really happy to be there. And we thank you so much that they are always happy to be here. And we're encouraged by that. But Lord, we just pray that happiness and willingness to be here would turn into something even more deeper and more resounding than that, that they would have a real longing and thirst to come and know and learn more about you. And I pray that in the things that they learn in their classes, Lord, would have a deep impact on their lives and will bring them to know you. Lord, we thank you again for the wonderful teachers that we have that was willing to give up their time again to teach these children. And I pray for them especially that you would just be a real encouragement to them. Lord, help them and guide them and speak to them this week as they prepare their lessons again. May it be a true encouragement and a blessing to them. Lord, we thank you so much for seeing so many people in this building this morning, so many visitors and friends, people that have been encouraged and asked to come along. We're just so thankful for that. Lord, it is so wonderful to be able to share in the gospel message together. Whether it's in this church or other churches, we can join together and we can praise you. Lord, we do pray for those that are not with us. We pray for those that might be at home at this time that are unable to join us here in this building. We especially pray for them. Lord, sometimes when they've been away for such a long time, it can feel like such a strain and a struggle. But I pray that you would encourage them, be with them, bless them, and help them and guide them. We do pray. And again, like always, we just thank you for those older folks that can't be here. We just again thank you for their life and their witness that they have shown us over the many years and that encouragement that they're still praying for all these events that happen here. We thank you so much for them. And we pray for those that have wandered away from here that we've known for so many years yet are not here with us anymore, might have turned their backs on you. Lord, we just pray for them at this time. We pray that even now that you'd be working in their hearts. We know that many of them over many years have heard so many messages, whether it's in the services here or in Sunday school or in Young Life when they were here. Lord, they've heard you speak to them. But Lord, did they hear? Did they take it on board? We pray that even now that seed was planted would start to grow and that you would turn them around and bring them back. We know that there are many events that happens in people's lives which change the way that they think. And I pray that this would be the case and that we'd see many of our loved ones return here and show an interest in you. Lord, help us to be encouragers to them as well, though. Lord, help us not to get down on them if they're not here and they're not about with us anymore. But help us to really encourage and get alongside them and to be a real help to them when we can, showing love at all stages in whatever situation they find their lives in. Lord God, we pray for any of those as well that have had operations this week or are having operations in future days to come. We pray that you would be with them. We pray especially for those that this week that we know have had operations. We pray that you'd help them to recover, help them to be strengthened. And we pray that in due time that we'd see them back here with us. So Lord God, we just come to you now and we just thank you for all the good things that you give us day by day. We think of all the many, many blessings. Help us to be truly thankful for each and every single one of them. Lord, we're all here this morning because of you. We look at the sun shining outside and we thank you for that because as we sang in that first song, you are the author of creation, aren't you? You are the one that sings creation. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for all the blessings and the good things that you give us day by day. So, Lord, we just come to you now and we pray that as we hear your word spoken to us in this building, that you would really speak through your Holy Spirit, help and guide us and be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be singing our second song now. Then afterwards, John Hitch is going to be giving the children's talk. And I've been asked by John if, just for the last time, if any Year 7s would like to come up as well to hear the children's talk. I think that would be really lovely to see you just one last time. So children's talk afterwards with John Hitch and any Year 7s, please feel free to come up the front as well. But we're going to be singing in our second song now. We're going to be singing Through All Life's Sorrows and Despairs, I Will Not Be Moved. So please stand when the music starts. Thank you.
Right, good morning. Okay, good to have you up here. And who's going into year seven? Just you two? Three? Great. Okay. So I especially was thinking about you this morning and what I wanted to say. But for all of us, it's a bit of a change, isn't it? Going up a year, going to a new class, new teacher. But for those of you who are going up to another school, it's a whole new building to get your head around. Can you turn the mic down just a little bit? Because I'm whistling, thank you. But really, I'm sure we'll be fine after a couple of days. But you know, the thing that we probably most, if we're afraid at all or fearful, it's the unknown, isn't it? Because we don't know exactly how things are going to settle down. And perhaps you've been thinking, what if I get lost around the school? I'm sure you'll be fine. You'll soon find your way around. What if I don't make friends very quickly? And what if I embarrass myself, drop my bag and everything comes out? We have lots of fears because we can't see what's ahead. We can see what's going on in here and in our lives at the moment. But as from sort of this point onwards, really, we're blind, aren't we? And I was wondering if somebody could come and wear a blindfold for me. Any volunteers? Anyone like to wear a blindfold? No one? Come on, somebody's got to help me. Come on, Harvey. Good man. Okay. So let's just put a... Do you want to take your glasses off a sec? That's it. Okay, we're going to put this around you because we don't want you to be able to see... Just for a second or two. Okay, can you see anything? You're okay? Good. I'm not very good at tying knots. There you go. Put it over your ears as well. Right, okay. Right, so Harvey can't see. So he doesn't know, probably fairly soon where he's facing, where the voice is coming from, or it's all getting a bit... And he's not quite sure, so walking along is going to be difficult, isn't it? But we need somebody to guide him. Do you think we need another person who's wearing a blindfold? That'd be good. No, that'd be silly, wouldn't it? Because they'd both end up bumping into things. Can anyone come and be a leader for Harvey? Yeah, come on then, Katie. Okay. So, how's Katie? What's the best way that Katie can lead him, do you think? Yeah, hold his shoulders or hold his hand. Okay, and Harvey say, look, Katie, please lead me, all right? I don't want to bump into chairs. All right, Katie, you guide him round the chair, wherever that might be, down the step, and tell him where he's going. That's it. Okay, no collisions yet. Good. Harvey can't see where he's going. He can't see if he's about to fall down the step. I hope Katie tells him. There's a step. Okay, well done. Good. Okay, that would probably do for now, won't it? All right, well done, Harvey. Here's your glasses. Do you want to take that off? Okay, now, Harvey was, well, reluctantly trusting, but I think he was trusting Katie. Thank you. Because Katie could see around him, she could see the object, she could see the problems, where he could fall over, and he had to trust. I can't see what's ahead of me, but I'm going to trust the person who can see. They're not wearing a blindfold. They've got vision. And it's a bit like that with God. You know, we can't see what's tomorrow. Hopefully we'll settle in well to school, and I'm sure we will, and it will go well. But we have fears, don't we? Because we can't see what the future is, and we're not sure how things are going to turn out. And David was a bit like that. Perhaps we could have David's prayer up, show one of his prayers. David had lots of enemies. I mean, he wasn't just going to school. He had got some people who really hated him and wanted to end his life. And he said, Lord, I just don't know which way to go. The enemies are chasing me. My own family's rising up against me. My own son, Absalom, we think at this time where he prayed this. And he just said, I can't see the future. I can't see how this is all going to work out, good or bad. And he said this. He wants to read this out for us. He wants to read his prayer for us. Yeah, go on then, friend. Good, thank you. Yeah, so he said, oh, I just don't know the way to go. And he put his trust in God because he knew that God could see how it was all going to turn out with his family, how it was all going to turn out with Saul in those days previously. And he said, just lead me in righteousness. That's a big word, isn't it? But we don't need to complicate it. Look, what word in there do you think you know in the word righteousness? Really easy. Yeah? Right. Yeah, in the right way, in the good way. That's what righteousness really means very simply. That's the way that God wants me to walk in. My enemies are going to try and knock me off course. They're going to try and destroy me. But I want my way to be made straight. I want God to be my guide. And I think that's a brilliant prayer for all of us here. And especially if you're going into a new school, Lord, lead me, guide me. help me, keep me safe. But help me to make good friends, because the friends that you make in year seven will have a big effect on your life and the direction of your life. Lord, help me to be wise in making good friends. Help me to be wise in not talking like everyone else does, in the filthy, dirty, horrible language that you'll hear at secondary school. You won't always be taught from the Bible. In fact, you won't be taught from the Bible at all, hardly. You'll be taught things that go completely against God, about relationships, about creation, about men and women. And you'll be told lies. And we need to pray to God, Lord, lead me through that so that I show love to people I disagree with, and lead me in your truth so that nothing knocks me off course from what your word says. And I think that's a really helpful prayer for you to be praying. Simple, isn't it? Very simple. Lead me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And God honours us when we walk with him and he's with us. He gives us peace in our hearts, even though it might seem that the world is against us and things aren't going too well. But God will help you if you put your trust in him. So I'd encourage you to pray that prayer. We're going to sing a song now, a chorus. And I was thinking, this was a Sunday school song, but actually not 5, 10 years ago. It was more like 15, 20, 25 years ago. So I'm looking at everyone else in here to help us. A very simple tune. Why don't you go back and sit in your seats, and we'll all stay sitting down, and we'll sing this song through twice. Okay.
Have our second reading now, and we can find that in Acts chapter 20, and we're going to be reading from verses 17 to 38, and you can find that on page 929. So Acts 20, starting at verse 17, reading through to 38. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for the 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend to you God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful, most of all because the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. So we look forward to hearing John in a moment as he speaks to us on this passage. But before then, we're just going to pray again. Shall we pray? Father God, we just pray now that as we are about to hear John speak on those passages, we pray that you would just clear our minds again of anything that might be blocking our way to you, Lord. We just pray that as John speaks to us in a moment, Lord, that you would help us with your Holy Spirit, that as John guides us through this passage, that your Holy Spirit will help in guiding us too. We really do pray that as John speaks now, that he will be speaking with your power and he will be speaking your words, and that will be a real blessing to each and every single one of us. Lord, we just thank you so much that we have people here that are willing to go out into this world and to preach your word, that they're able to go out and speak about who you are and what you have done. Lord, may you really help and guide them all. We pray for John today especially, and John Woods this evening, and we think of Martin preaching in Belvedere as well. We just pray that you'd be with each and every single one of them, and that you'd be with each and every single one of us hearing these messages. Lord, do be with us now, we do pray, and be your blessing to each and every single one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, before John comes to speak to us, we're going to be singing our first song. And I know you shouldn't have favourites, but this is one of my favourites. So I'm really looking forward to singing this myself. We're going to be singing, I Cannot Tell Why He Whom Angels Worship Should Set His Love Upon the Sons of Men. And do please stand when the music starts.
Thank you. So there was a big group of people coming together, and they were in a city on the Turkish coast. A man called Tychicus had brought an important scroll, and he was intending to read it to all those who have met together. And we are looking at that important scroll in coming weeks, with its majestic and its practical teaching. The city where they are is called Ephesus. Some of you may have been there on holiday. In fact, the Swansons have been there this week on holiday, and we've managed to get a photo. If it comes up. You do this one, Caleb. I don't know why mine didn't. There we go. Of a famous ruin, if that's the right word, in Ephesus. And although the Swansons are generally very tall, they're comparatively small there. And you've got Jacob, Leah and Noah at the bottom. So here we are in Ephesus. And the letter is to the Christians there, the church there at Ephesus. Ephesians it's called, and it's part of God's word. If you've heard of the famous reformer John Calvin, well, apparently it was his favourite letter. Somebody else described it as the queen of the epistles. One president of a theological seminary felt he owed his life to this letter. He thought it was the greatest and maturest and most relevant for our times of all Paul's works. So we're in for a treat in coming weeks and Sunday mornings as we go through Ephesians. But who are those that are gathered together? What's happened to them? What's their backstory? And that's what we're going to fill in today, hopefully. And it's going to set the scene a bit for the weeks ahead. It's drawn from Acts 19 and 20, and maybe a little bit from Acts 18 as well. I won't be keep quoting them. You'll see why when you'll see how we come to do this. But as you read through that passage, perhaps later, I hope you'll see that it's all drawn from what is in God's word in those passages. It'll help us to realise that this is a real situation with real people. It will help us to understand the connection, some of them, I think, to the letter itself. And actually, this morning, too, we will learn some lessons that will stand us in good stead as we think through it today. So I want to imagine that before Paul's letter is read out to this group that's gathered, we're, if you like, teleported down. And we get the opportunity to speak to one of the long-standing people of that gathering. In a way, it's like we're interviewing them. Going to ask them a few questions so that we get the backstory. So I hope it's going to work this morning. It's a way of gathering together the things that have happened in the build-up to this letter to the Ephesians. So we might say to this person that we're speaking to, well, how did you not all come to be here? And he might say, well, it mainly began with a passionate speaker. Apollos was his name, and he brought a message to our city. And he knew how to captivate an audience. But there was content too in the things that he was saying. And he knew his Bible well. And he taught us a lot about Jesus. And it got even better when he started to mix with that older couple, Aquila and Priscilla. They were a smart pair. And as he mixed with them, his teaching became even better and even clearer. He understood things so well, and he made clear how Jesus was the Christ that was pointed to in the Old Testament scriptures. Well, then Apollos moved off to Corinth. And so we ask, well, did anyone else follow on from him? Well, that's when Paul came with his team. Paul had been on a very brief visit before, but this time he came across inland from Turkey. And he asked us if we knew about the Holy Spirit. Well, we knew there was a Holy Spirit, that he would come. John the Baptist had told us that, but we were mainly taken up with the teaching of John the Baptist, and we hadn't heard about the new life that came through the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we heard the things that were said by Paul, well, many of us believed in Jesus for ourselves, and we were baptized. And something, you know, strange happened at that time. Some of us started to speak in real languages that we'd never learnt. It was a bit like the day of Pentecost, if you've heard of that. It's an absolute miracle. And I'm told it showed that God had included us amongst his people by giving us his Spirit. So that even here at Ephesus, where there were a lot of us that were non-Jews, we were part of God's community. Well, we then asked, well, did Paul hang around for long there with you? Well, Paul was quite a teacher, and he knew that we needed to know the truth about Jesus very deeply. So we had some in-depth teaching. For 3 months, he taught us in the Jewish place of worship called the synagogue. But some folks there really didn't like it. And they gave him a tough time, and they started to slander him. So Paul and us Christians, well, we had to move on. And we moved to a hall. We hired a hall called the Hall of Tyrannus. And in that hall, Paul taught every day. You know, it's funny to be in a place teaching about God's love and grace, which was named after Tyrannus, tyrant, despot. But there we were, hearing every day about the grace and love and kindness and mercy of God. And that carried on for 2 years, teaching. It was great stuff. People from all around the region came in to hear it. They wanted to hear God's word. Well, did anything else stand out in what followed? Well, there was the book burning. That followed some strange happenings. And God gave these apostles, like Paul, some very special gifts, which showed that the message they were bringing, this new message, was true and from God. They were called signs of an apostle. And there were special healings. Some people were cured just by touching Paul's handkerchief. There were also some dramatic exorcisms of demons. It was all quite frightening. The Seven Sons of Sceva episode, well, that stays in my mind. That became the talk of the town. But it made the whole area realise the power and authority of Jesus, and it made them listen to the message. Well, all of this led to the people who were involved with the dark arts, with magic, with occult, with spells, realise that they'd done wrong. So they brought all their books to the public place, to the square, and they burnt them. They were worth quite a mint, you know. We reckon they were worth about 50,000 silver coins. I guess that's hundreds of thousands of pounds in your money. And there was a great turning to God, and people were lapping up the teaching that they heard. Well, did anything else happen that was dramatic? Well, there was the city riot. England's not the only country, you know, that has city riots. Two of Paul's team moved on to the next place, but he stayed for a while. And because people had turned to God, some were getting pretty unhappy about what was happening. The ringleader of that mob was Demetrius. He was a silversmith, and he made his money selling little idols of the goddess of the city, Artemis. Well, with everybody turning to worship and serve the living God, business had plummeted for Demetrius and his friends. So they had a bit of a trade union meeting, if you like, about the scene and situation. And they stirred up the crowd in uproar. People were shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" And they dragged some of Paul's helpers in to the main centre. For about 2 hours, the chanting was going on. And I don't know how long it would have carried on for if it wasn't for the city clerk who called order and told people that if they got a concern, they should take it through the courts. Well, after all that, Paul gathered us together. He gave us some encouragement before he himself headed across to Greece to take the message to the people there. Well, was that the end of your time with Paul? Well, it was for some of us, but Paul was really keen for us to do well. We were a church by now with leaders. Elders, they were named. Paul wasn't able to come to Ephesus again, but when he was down the coast at Miletus, he wanted to see the elders of the church here. It was a bit like a leaders' conference. And what a speech he gave to them. The leaders were very moved when they came back. You could see that some of them had been crying at the time that they had with Paul. He reminded them of the time which he served among us. He hadn't sponged off us, but he taught the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God, he put it, in public and in house to house. And he emphasized the need for people to repent and believe. And he had quite a word for that group of leaders. They were to be very careful to watch out about their own lives. And they were to be very careful to watch out for the spiritual health of the flock here at Ephesus. And he said that Jesus loved churches like us and that he'd given his life for people like us. Paul seemed to know that there was going to be some dangers ahead for us. He put it in terms of wolves attacking the flock. He even said that from within the church there would be people twisting the things that they had heard and leading people astray. So he said we needed to remember the word of the Lord, the Bible's teaching that he'd passed on. The word of his grace is the phrase he used about it. Well, have you heard any of the latest news since that happened? Well, that was all 5+ years ago. It's a tough job being a missionary for Jesus. It's not always popular, and Paul has come in for some rough treatment. And we've heard that he's now in prison in Rome. I'm keen to hear how he's getting on. But I'm even keener to hear more of the grand teaching about God, more of what he's done, and more of how it affects our lives. So that's why I'm keen to hear this letter. So, it's just about to be read. Well, I hope in doing it that way, it's drawn together the backstory for the letter to the Ephesians. That it was real people that were sat there hearing this letter. People whose lives were very different these days. Some things that happened were special to that age of the apostles, but so many things that went on then and which occur in the letter are things which are so apt and relevant for us now. And what I'd just like to do this morning for the last little bit is to pick out four things from that which will help us now and which also link in with the letter. The first is, oh, there he goes in prison. The first is God's great plan. God's great plan. Life is not just a series of random events. I don't know if that's the way you think of it. Life is not just a series of random collection of events. God has been working through a plan. It was anticipated in the Old Testament, the scriptures as they're called. It was announced by John the Baptist as he came in his ministry. This new era is the era of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is at the centre of the message and of bringing things about. It is described here in 19 and verse 8. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. A plan which changes people's eternal situation. A people's relationship and standing before God. A plan which involved bringing lots of different people together. And all done by God's mercy and love and grace and kindness. Have you got a sense of the great plan of God? You're going to get more of it in Ephesians. In fact, I have a set of 8 books on Ephesians in my study. I think I've probably only got 4 or 5 of them. There was a set of 8 books by a man called Martin Lloyd-Jones. Perhaps you've heard of him. He was a great preacher last century, and he preached, I think it took him 8 years, I think, to preach through Ephesians. We should go a bit quicker than that. The first book on the first chapter called God's Ultimate Purpose. God's Ultimate Purpose. God's Great Plan. Something to know, something to learn more about. Dramatically changed lives. Wouldn't quite fit into my gap, so vastly changed lives. Lives were changed then. People had new life by the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 20 of 19, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. People then had their beliefs and their attitudes and their behaviour changed. And it led to some specifics. They burnt books with things that they didn't want as part of their life anymore. They stopped buying and got rid of the idols which were competing with God. That happened in your life. A change in your life. Imagine you're going along a road. You go past a restaurant or pub that you're familiar with and there's a skip outside and things are going in the skip. Perhaps you pass it a few times and then also you see some white vans outside and people heading off with paint pots towards the pub. And then you see a sign and the sign says, under new management. think, ah, now I know what's happening. So new leadership, new boss involved, new owner. And some of the things that were there before aren't wanted. Skip. And there are other things that are wanted instead. The decorators are coming in to make it look nice. It's under new ownership. Well, when somebody becomes a Christian, maybe that's happened for you. Pray not, if not, that it will happen to you. There is new ownership under new management. And it leads to a changed life. Some of the old goes and some new things come in. The Ephesians' life have been greatly changed by God, and we'll have that unpacked a bit. But you know, it still needed to be worked out in their lives. So we'll also find, as the letter goes on, a lot more about what it means to live as a changed person, to live in the light rather than the darkness. I think we might find some help in the new life that we have in Jesus. Another thing that it teaches us is that God loves church. If I can put it like that, God loves church. And what you think of church? Well, you think it perhaps is a little get together, a bit of a Sunday club, you know, quite a nice social. God has a very high view of the church in total, all of those who are believers in it, and of a small church, local believers in one particular town or place. And to be part of the church, God's community, is an immense privilege. He said in 20 verse 28 that the church was so loved and was bought by the blood of God's Son. He says to the leaders, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And the church is at the heart of God's plan. And he evidently wanted them to be healthy and growing and well ordered and protected as a church. I think as we go into this letter of the Ephesians, we realise more and more how wonderful the church is. How great it is to be a part of it. What a privilege it is to be part of God's mixed community of believers. And if in your mind at the minute church is a little unimportant thing, I'm hoping by the end of Ephesians that may have changed. The last thing to bring out this morning was we need teaching. We need teaching. He taught in that Tyrannus lecture hall for 2 years. And he'd done some teaching before then. He taught there every day. He wanted to teach them in Miletus, so he brought them there to that coastal town. He taught them that the whole counsel of God, there was a big array of things that they needed to be established in. He knew that false teachers would arise and that they needed to be equipped in God's truth to be protected. Do you realise the importance of hearing truth about God from the Bible, the word of the Lord, as it's put here a few times? How big is your appetite for the Bible? I know some of you have got a really healthy appetite for the Bible. It'd be so good if that was true of all of us. We need to hear teaching. We need the grand and the gritty, if I can put it like that. In this book, we'll get a sense of God's eternal plan of the whole of human history. We'll find out about our link to heaven. We'll see God uniting his community of over a great divide spread through people of that age. But we'll also find principles of what we're like in the home, of what it's like at work, of what we do with our hands and our tongue and our money and our time. We need the grand and the gritty, and we're going to get both in these six chapters of Ephesians. So, there's Ephesus, the backstory. I hope it's been helpful. Not been too odd to do it the way I did. Built up what's happened, sense of the background, these real people, and just drawing then some lessons out of that, which whet our appetites, I hope, for what we hope to hear in coming weeks as we go through this wonderful letter of the Ephesians. Let me pray now about our studies, shall I? Lord, we thank you for your word. We're reminded that we need teaching. We thank you for this tremendous letter of Ephesians and for the reminder of what you did in the lives of those who were sat there originally listening to it. Help us to learn from what you did then, things which help us now. And we pray that in coming weeks, amongst many other things, we'll have a sense of your great plan. We'll have lives changed if they haven't done already, and further changed as they need to. We'll realise the high place of the church in your purposes. And we realise the importance of teaching and be taught ourselves. So we do pray over these times. We ask that they might be really useful. Pray that you'd help Mark and me as we lead on the teaching. But we pray that your Spirit will make us receptive to all that we hear. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it doesn't hurt to start dipping in before a message. So if you want to start dipping into Ephesians and be ahead of the game each week, that will probably stand you in good stead. But shall we sing now a last song, which is a song about the church. Church of God, elect and glorious, holy nation, chosen race. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father, presence and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.